We're in the catacombs underneath the church, St. John's in Hoxton. It sounds like I haven't had any sleep. I have had sleep, but not long ago, the floor where we are sitting right now was covered with bodies for people who tried to cope with the night and then collapsed momentarily and then continued onwards. I'm sat with...
I'm Jessica Rose.
And what do you do and who do you do it for and why?
That makes me sound like a bit of a spy. So I'm head of developer relations for a company called Crate. And we make CrateDB, so it's a database, but it's open source. And this means that it's built by our engineers, but also by the community. And anybody can download it. Anybody can make their own version. Anybody can sort of hack on it. It's really pretty neat.
What is a person who does developer relations do? I guess bring you to places like this over the year 2016.
I'm always really hesitant to talk too much about developer relations because I'm really worried that companies will realize it's too good of a job. So we can cover a lot of different things, but it generally means that you do sort of developer-facing outreach for either a software product or a platform. So for me personally, my job's quite a bit of going to hackathons like this or going to conferences. And the thing I really want to do is I want to talk to people about what they're doing with data, what challenges they have. And the big thing for me is being able to take that information back to the team to say, hey, do you know what? Right now, everybody's really interested in massive scalability for IoT projects. What can we do about that? So it's kind of half PR, half den mother.
Nice, den mother. I like that. So give me a little bit of an outline of your sentiment for Over the Air. This is your first Over the Air.
It is, yeah. So I've had some friends and contacts who've been coming for several years, and I'm absolutely in love with it. So I love tech events, period. I think it kind of has to go with the job. But I'm always really, really pleased when you see tech events and tech projects come into spaces you don't usually see them. So being in a church has been really pleasant. I am a huge hackathon fan. I'm a massive fan of non-competitive hackathons. And just the vibe here has been a lot of people working collaboratively, a lot of people trying out new projects, and it's been really refreshing.
So when did you start coding and what got you into it?
Actually just a couple years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. I'm always really careful to warn that I'm not a great programmer. But I was working at this like rinky-dink little startup, and with startups, sometimes you didn't get paid on time. But I noticed that the programmers always got paid on time and that they made about double what I made. And they didn't seem that much smarter than I was.
So how long did it take for you to feel like you were confident and could do that work? Because I'm fascinated because I don't code, I don't program outside of many years ago, a bit of HTML, a bit of DOS.
So yeah, that's difficult because I still don't feel massively confident. It's strange because I give a bunch of talks on imposter syndrome and going ahead and saying that you can do the thing before you can do the thing. But yeah, I still don't feel really, really confident.
I love that. Imposter syndrome is a term I have embraced because of the certain feelings I get from being very passionate and enthusiastic and then flying headlong into something and then going, what the hell am I doing here? Before you know it, you're on a massive stage talking to lots of people going, someone is going to kick the door in any minute and go, it's him, he's pretending.
And I think that gets really challenging for technical audiences because sometimes you will have people go, but I think that's wrong for reasons. Or sometimes it's starting an interesting dialogue, but sometimes some people just really want to be right.
But that's great as well because it makes you a more humble speaker and it turns a lot of your talks into an open conversation where you are learning as much as anybody who's is come to hear some of the information, niche as it may be sometimes, that you have.
I'd like to think so, yeah. I think my other option is worrying that it makes me sound goofy.
Oh, well, I mean, you're in the right place for that.
Yeah, it's high levels of friendly goofy out here.
There are some stereotypes around the geek, the nerd, whatever you want to call them. One commonality I find is on the whole, places like this, over the air in general, really big hearts and some shyness sometimes. But the moment you unlock that shyness, you are in the gang and you are creating and building and learning in a group. And I do think this collaborative learning space is key.
So that's actually something I'm really interested in, sort of whether or not geek stereotypes and whether or not sort of geek gatekeeping as well make spaces like hackathons less accessible. So when I went to my first hackathon years ago, I really didn't want to go. It didn't feel like a thing that was for me. And I think by broadcasting a lot of our events in sort of geek terms and inside jokes, I wonder whether or not we're making it more accessible for wider communities.
That's a very good point. And that, I mean, geek clique is a thing that's just popped into my head. I don't know if that's a term, but there was an instance when somebody turned up last night. And she was like, I've got this amazing idea, but I've got nobody to talk to because everybody's working in groups. It only took a couple of people who were like, well, hang on, tell me what it is. I will plug you into the right person. And before you know it, there's a product on the way the morning after. So it is possible to break through this.
I think it's really community dependent, though. So I've been to events like this and hackathons like this where you can just, it feels a bit like grade school. You can walk up and say, hello, do you want to play with me? And people are just like, yeah, let's do something, let's build something.
So who are the catalysts? They should be invited. The catalysts, because it was dependent on a couple of people knowing a huge swathe of people and saying this person is relevant to you and you are relevant to them. Maybe that's a normal societal trait that is missing from a lot of what you've been saying.
Well, I think a lot of times it's about highlighting the value of making those connections for other people. So it's not about getting this person to come along and make those connections. It's really about broadcasting that, hey, if you take the time and chat to new people as they come in, and if you take the time to introduce people, you're actually building your own network and building social value and knowing you.
That's much better than my quick fix thoughts that I had then. Yeah, bring someone along and force people to talk to each other. Yeah, we need to be learning and growing together. And yet, there's some traits from people who specialize so into one thing that everything else on the periphery falls away. I sometimes wonder if you make this person more rounded, they're not going to be a genius anymore.
I think that's especially difficult in technologies because oftentimes we see ourselves really almost fetishizing extremely specialized skill sets. And we're not always putting a lot of attention, a lot of value on the skill sets that you wrap it around. People talk a lot about soft skills right now.
Give me an explanation of soft skills.
Soft skills, communication, being able to work together, facilitating. So weird, squishy people things.
So why don't we have talks and workshops on that at places like this? Maybe this is the secret we've just stumbled upon, that soft skills is a compulsory keynote.
So you are seeing a lot more soft skills, both in workshop form, in talks, and in people bringing them into the workplace, which really, really makes me feel good about the future of technology. So I think that balancing that with the continued drive to move towards more specialized technical education and encourage people to generalize a bit more. Yeah. Sorry, you're just getting a monologue of, oh, wouldn't it be nice if tech did blank?
Oh, fantastic. Well, that, for me, injects a lot of hope into the future. What's coming up in your future?
So it's a little bit of a busy season for me. So CrateDB's just got a release coming up, which we're going to go ahead and get sorted right before the winter break, which is always nice.
That's on crate.io.
It is, yeah. So really, really interested in getting some more beginner-friendly information out around it. So if anybody is listening to this and was like, ah, what's a database? What is SQL? You can find me online and like either hop to crate.io or, yeah, I'll give y'all some notes on where to find me. You could just
say some now as well.
Oh, you can get me personally at jessica.tech or hello@jessica.tech. If you're like, oh, what's a database? Yeah, pop me a note, say hello.
Jessica, thank you very much.
No, I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Background noise sounded like an impromptu jingle.
Yeah, it's not a bad way to go. Thank you again.